Brian Abdallah, here we go. After week one, things were going well for the Chicago Bears, but we knew that there was a tough test ahead for the Bears against the Packers last night. Green Bay wins the game 27-10. Bears are now 1-1 on the season, but last night, if you kind of think back to the way that game played out, it was the same script that we've seen before with the Chicago Bears against the Green Bay Packers. The Bears could not stop the Packers' offense, and then defensively, the Packers were on point. And to a certain extent, the Bears looked like the same old Chicago Bears that we've grown to know, even though we have a new organizational front office structure, we have the new coaching staff, we have a new quarterback that we hope will turn into something someday. It was the same old Bears against the Packers last night, getting beaten down once again in Green Bay.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say, well, if that touchdown would have counted, even though it should have, and if this, it would have been closer, and we wouldn't be having the same conversations we're having today, but they didn't look put together. They didn't look like the team that we saw in week one, where you had penalties right off the bat. You had a lot of penalties. You had false starts. You had, you know, holding calls. You had all the things that we kind of said in week one that were good. The defense playing well, everybody getting to the football, forcing turnovers. They did have the one turnover, but forcing more turnovers, you know, trying to confuse Aaron Rodgers with different looks and that kind of thing, and having a clean game and seeing more offense. And we just never saw it. It never happened. I don't want to say it's a problem, but I feel like it's not too concerning for me because I didn't expect them to win this game anyway. But also, I thought it would be closer. I thought that they would have competed in this game a little more. And like, it's not like they quit. You know, they were trying till the end. They were still running out there until the very end, trying to get something going. And they were still out there trying to get to the football and trying to establish some form of takeaways or whatever. But in the end, yeah, it's the same old Bears-Packers game.
Well, and you make a good point. Did you expect the Bears to win? No. I did expect a better effort, but it's tough to do that when you have Justin Tebow out there playing quarterback for you.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm just saying, look at the stats. We look at the stats, 7 for 11 for 70 yards, one interception, quarterback rating of 43.8. How do you say anything other than that? Because if we want to look at other quarterbacks in their second year, the names that we were comparing Justin Fields to, it would be the names like Trevor Lawrence. He looked fantastic yesterday. We go back to last year, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. Those are names that we look at and we say that those are guys that we're kind of taking a look at. But when the quarterback and the only positive forward momentum plays from the quarterback yesterday were him running the football and not even looking to pass the football down the field, that's a problem. And I thought that even though they were not going to win the football game, I thought that they would be a little bit more competitive, a little bit more competent, because those are two things that you and I have talked about on the Bear Down podcast the entire offseason and throughout training camp. To this point, I thought that they would be more competent in this situation. Offensively, clearly they were not, against a stellar defense in the Green Bay Packers. I'm just surprised at this point that he only attempted 11 passes down the field. And Justin Fields really looked like a quarterback who couldn't play the position last night, and the only thing he could do was run the football.
I'm not surprised by the amount of attempts, because I think that when you look at the rushing and that Montgomery was averaging 8 yards a carry and Khalil Herbert was averaging 9.5 yards per carry, You go with what's working.
Hold on. Going with what's working is a little different than only throwing the football 11 times.
Yeah, but if you're getting up and down the field, then what do you...
You're down 17 points.
But they should have kept running. There were points in the game, especially in the second quarter, where they should have kept... Stop trying to force the throw. Stop trying to make him pass. I would have ran the ball even more because they went away from it. They were trying to play catch up and it wasn't working. When the run was working, they stopped going to Montgomery, and especially at the goal line. You've got a dude who's been able to get through every single hole the entire game, and at the goal line you try to have Justin Fields out of the shotgun. Now statistically, plays at the goal line 66% of the time go for touchdowns out of the shotgun, 55% of the times under center. We're not going to get into semantics there, but still, my point is
those aren't semantics. Those are facts.
Can
give those.
But I would have gone with Montgomery there, and I felt like they actually went away from the run in the second quarter when Justin Fields was struggling and the pocket was collapsing. Duel was worried. They couldn't. Neither team could stop the run to save their lives.
No, they couldn't. And I do see your point. If the run game is working for you, you stick with it. But theoretically, if the run game is working that well, shouldn't the play action pass game off of the run game also be an option for the quarterback? And the fact that they didn't even try and throw the football at all, I don't think is a result of how great the run game was last night. It was a result of a quarterback who clearly was overwhelmed in a situation that this offense wasn't ready for this Packers defense last night. Yeah, the running the football was good in the second half. You got down to the goal line. To your point, out of the shotgun, you run it with Justin Fields once again, instead of you getting Fields under center for a sneak. Or heck, how about this idea? Maybe handing off to the running back that was running so well, either of them, Herbert or Montgomery to that point. So, you know, I think also in that play, if you're going with the Fields situation where you want him to run, why are you not getting him out on the edge? It's something that they did multiple times. He got a touchdown in that situation earlier in the game, and then he also got a first down on a play just like that later on or earlier in the game as well. But I just think when you're not even attempting passes downfield, you're going to make it very difficult for yourself going forward because you're not stretching the defense.
I think that you also played two defenses so far, one in a monsoon, and you played two of what are supposed to be the best defenses in the NFL. Football Outsiders did their preview before the season started and had the Packers defense to give up the least amount of points this season in their projections. So you're facing a top five defense from last year in the 49ers and what's supposed to be a top defense, if not the top defense this year in the Packers. Now, I know they looked awful against the Vikings last week, but if they were going to make corrections, you know it was going to happen against the Bears, and they were going to be fine against the Bears. So to me, this isn't still a true measure of what Justin Fields is and what the Bears are. This is I haven't heard more of an overreaction on a Monday since I think I've been here at ESPN 1000.
That's not like, true.
No,
come
it is.
On.
No, it is.
What's because the overreaction?
The overreaction is that Fields is done. He's awful.
Oh,
he's never going to get it. And this is also coming from some of the same people and the same callers who are like, oh, well, this is a fresh start for him. So which one? I want to know which one is it. What are we dealing with here? Are we dealing with a quarterback who's in his second game in a new offense, who played one game in a monsoon where no one could throw the ball, and then face one of the best defenses in the NFL, supposed to be one of the best defenses in the NFL, in the Packers? Or are we saying that this is a guy who's been under center for over a year now, and it's time he learns? Like, which one are we going to overreact to? Are we going to overreact to Fields is not going to ever get it? Or are we going to say that this is just his second game in the system? It's only been two games. Like, let's not overreact here. The team is 1-1, and they beat the 49ers last week. And yeah, did they look bad? Sure, they looked bad yesterday. But no one gave them a chance in the game anyway. It was a 10-point spread.
The numbers are what they are. Justin Fields last week, 8 of 17 for 121 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Last night, 7 for 11, 70 yards, no touchdowns, and 1 interception. He did run in a touchdown earlier in the game, so the run game was working for Justin Fields. 8 carries for 20 yards and a touchdown. So you're saying you didn't like the Justin Tebow line that I gave you a couple minutes ago?
No, I just think you're being reactionary.
Well, I'm not being reactionary. Look at
being
the
reactionary
stats. Give me a quarterback that throws 11 passes in the league.
You didn't call Jimmy Garoppolo Jimmy Tebow when Shanahan took the ball out of his hands in a playoff game.
I would, and I would do the same for Mac Jones last year when Belichick did it against the Bills.
But you didn't.
I absolutely
but you
would.
Didn't.
100%. I definitely would.
Didn't.
Andre in the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Andre?
Guys, I'm sorry. Abdallah, I love you, my man, but you're crazy. Jesus, we're in trouble. Y'all see it. You see it. Your eyes don't lie. The eye test never lies, bro. Look who picked the quarterback. I'm sorry. I do not trust Matt Nagy. I do not trust Ryan Pace. I hated them guys. I hated Matt Nagy. Do you understand me? I honestly hated Matt Nagy. Bro, we're in trouble. The man can't play. When you got a quarterback, at least they're going to flash some type of remnants of I'm a good quarterback play. He's going to do something, a deep ball. Look, when the Chargers drafted Justin Herbert, they knew they had their franchise quarterback from day one. The kid was amazing. Even though the Chargers was terrible and they didn't win much and he went through his growing pains of the NFL, but you still knew that, nah, this kid is good. family. And so what we're looking at now, Justin Fields, I'm sorry, dude is bad, bro. Now, all this and now, forever in the rest of his career, he's going to be stuck with the moniker of one read quarterback. That scares me to death. And why? Because look who picked him. Y'all really going to tell me that you trust Ryan Pace quarterback evaluation skills, the man who signed Mike freaking Glennon? That's what y'all telling me.
I mean, Andre, I'm going to trust my eyes when I saw a dude put up six touchdowns against Clemson in a playoff game, when I saw him go head-to-head with Alabama and compete until that, you know, one of the best defenses of all time kind of rattlesnaked him a little bit or boa constricted him a little bit. I'm going to go with that over, you know, Mike Glennon and what Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace saw.
312-332-3776 is Black and Abdallah. If you want to talk Bears football, we're here for you.
Listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah.
I got stories that'll raise the hair in your head.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I'm rather looking forward to it.
Black and Abdallah
on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
We're talking Bears with you at 312-332-3776. Robert in Naperville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Robert?
Hey, gentlemen, how's it going? I appreciate you guys my call.
What's up, man?
Yeah, so, yeah, I was just going to call, listen to some callers talk and whatnot, and I'm just driving home, and I'm like, in all seriousness, they're saying the dude can't play, just feels not good, and this and that. Like, there was so many, like, in all honesty, I lived in Wisconsin for about 10, 11 years, and I called earlier on the Waddle and Sylvie show, and I was like, football fans in Wisconsin don't know anything about football. And then I come back in Illinois, where I was born and raised, and I'm like, this is even worse. There's no comprehension. Nobody's even played the game at the collegiate level, and they're trying to deem somebody who was a Division I All-Pro athletic personnel at the quarterback position. They're saying they can't play after what it was less than a year of football that he's played in his career. Get real. It takes time to develop at the position. He hasn't even started for a whole year. You have to give the guy time. You have to give him some weapons. You have to give him a line that knows how to pass block. Until then, Chicago needs to just be quiet, because Justin Fields is right. They may not like it. He should not upset it. They have not put in any work to even be upset about this loss. In all honesty, we've been getting our tails kicked against Green Bay for years now. And at least we have somebody, I believe, who's capable of putting us in position to win a game against Green Bay. So I appreciate you guys taking my call. Back to you.
All right. Thank you for Robert. We appreciate it. 312-332-3776. Abdallah, here's the piece of audio that Robert was referring to. Justin Fields was asked a question about losing and whether or not it hurts more because of the rivalry with the Packers.
Just losing against this team, does it sting more because of the rivalry, and you know how much Bears fans want to win this game?
Yeah. I mean, it hurts more in the locker room than the Bears fans. I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not putting in any work. I see the guys in the locker room every day. I see how much work they put in. So just coming out with a disappointing loss like this, you know, it hurts. But, you know, we just got to respond.
Do you have a problem with what and how Justin Fields answered that question last night?
Not what he said, but he's got to be smarter about how he says it, right? Like, I feel like he's young enough to know that everything you say, and he's grown up in a culture where everything you say is tweeted out in the little box or Instagrammed out in the little box with just what you said, right? There's no context to anything anymore. So if you just heard the soundbite without the question,
right,
and no context,
sure,
he's taking a shot at the fans, right? Mm-hmm. But if you listen to the context, he's not, all he's saying is like, we work our asses off all off season, all week long to prepare for this game. Yeah, it hurts. Of course it hurts us. It hurts us a lot. Like, you guys aren't even, like, you guys are, he's not saying you guys are just fans, but he's saying, like, you guys aren't, like, you go to your job and then you come in on Sunday and you root for the team and you spend your money on season tickets and everything. But, like, I'm working for this. Like, I work for these 3 hours. And I don't have a problem with what he said. It's just he needs to be better about how he says things.
Take a listen to the clip again. Listen to the question, then listen to Fields.
Yeah. Just losing against this team, does it sting more because of the rivalry and, you know, how much Bears fans want to win this game?
Yeah. I mean, it hurts more in the locker room than the Bears fans. I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not putting in any work. I see the guys in the locker room every day. I see how much work they put in. So just coming out with a disappointing loss like this, you know, it hurts. But, you know, we just got to respond.
I would have a problem with it if the question did not include referring to the fans. See what I'm saying? That?
Yeah.
And that's why the context matters, because Justin Fields answers the question referring to the fans because the fans were brought up in the question.
Mm-hmm.
If Fields was not asked about the fans in the question and he brought up the fans and how it hurts more for us in the locker room and the fans don't put in any work, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But he was asked and in the question was referred the fans. So
yes.
By saying the fan, like in his answer, was it the most perfect answer he could give? Probably not.
No.
But he was referring back to the fans because that's what was asked in the question, and that's why the context in the situation matters.
And also, I don't know if you heard this because it was last week while you were gone, but he was asked about the rivalry and like what it means. And he was like, I've been a part of rivalries. Like, I played at Ohio State. Like, I know about, like, for me, it's not a rivalry yet, but I understand rivalries and I understand what it means for Bears fans to want to win this game. So I think if you go and like, if you remember that part of it,
right,
then you know that like he does care about the fans and he does care about the fans' feeling towards the game. It's just that he was saying that yes, you guys are fans, but you also are only, you're watching for 3.5 hours, you're going to the games. I'm putting it, while you're at your 9 to 5, my 9 to 5 is this. So this stings a lot more because I failed at my job.
Listen, I think people would be far more upset if Fields' response was, I'm a millionaire. I don't care. You know what's funny to me? You fans, you care a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't care. You know why? Because I sleep on money. I think people would have a problem with him saying that, no?
But the problem is that most people might not be listening to this right now, and they're just looking at the little Instagram box that says, it stings for me more because the fans don't put in the work.
Well, like, that's why everyone in the world's lazy now. Listen, everybody's lazy. No mm-hmm. one's willing to go find out what the context is for anything.
Yeah.
It's just a little clip, and then there's a post, a tweet, and there you go. Mm-hmm. Everyone's lazy. Oh, well, he sucks. He talked about the fans.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? There's a little context
he was
added
asked
to the,
about the fans. To the,
right, like, that's why the first time I heard the soundbite, I was like, well, why would he just bring up the fans like that? Well, what was asked?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, he was asked about the fans and the rivalry. David Lockport, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, David?
Yeah, well, 2 points. You just brought up one about the players, Fields, when he was saying what he was saying. I really believed only not many athletes. When they're with their buddies, I really do believe that they're talking, hey, guys, we are millionaires. It is what it is. But they got to play to the fans. It's like a politician talking to their constituents. They want their votes. I get that. But the main reason I call this rebuilding year, it reminds me of the Cubs. You know, Cubs fans, you're rebuilding, expectations out the window. You know you're going to see some ugly baseball for several years to get the players in to get to that potential championship team. My question is, if they want to evaluate players, I understand the new coach wants to try to win games, but there's no expectations. There's no playoffs in their future, I don't believe. So Justin Fields, why don't they have a game plan? And I'm not pro or against. We don't know what he can do. Have a game plan where he's going to throw the 30 times a game. I don't care if it's against the steel curtain. At least you could see if he's getting the ball to where it needs to be. Yeah, he doesn't have stud receivers. But how are you supposed to evaluate his position if you're not letting him play it? 18 and 11 passes in 2 consecutive games is not, all it is prolonging what he can do evaluating him.
Right.
I mean, does that make sense? You got to throw the, I know the fans want wins, but, and it's only 16, 17 games, baseball 162, but no expectations. 5-6 wins, we know what they're going to get. We want to see what these players can do in the key position. They're not letting us see what he can do by holding them back. 11 passes. Yeah, Green Bay's got great defense. But he's going to be playing great defenses his whole career.
Yeah.
Drop him back 10, 20, 30 times. Let's see if he can make the throws. I don't care if they're caught, but do they get to the spot? Is he doing his progression? Is it on target? Not, you know, receivers may drop every one, but at least the ball is getting there, knowing if you get talent the next 2-3 years, those catches will be made he can get the ball to the spot, and he can be the quarterback of the future.
David, that's a fair viewpoint, because I think the Bears are tiptoeing a fine line here where they're trying to develop the quarterback, but they also don't want to kill him. And there were many points last night where it seemed as if the offensive line, the play calling, and the skill set players around Fields weren't up for the challenge to even allow him to even go down the field, which you can either blame the coaching staff, the players around Fields, or Fields himself.
Yeah.
You could spread blame all around, but it feels as if it's not easy to kind of tiptoe with that fine line.
No, and I feel like there's two jobs that the coaching staff has, right? You have to win football games, and you have to develop your talent. And there comes a time during the game where, you know, you run your first whatever how many plays and you get that touchdown with Justin Fields and you're like, okay, that's fine. And then you start getting into the flow of the game and you're like, well, throwing isn't working and he's getting no pass protection and they're setting the edges so he can't really run. So why don't we just keep running it down their throat? Because as much as you want Justin Fields to develop, and I want him to, Matt Eberflus is here to win football games. And if the recipe to win that football game is run it 40 times, then you run it 40 times, because that's the thing. Like, people are starting to, I think that people are still starting to overreact. It's been two games. One of them was in a monsoon. Like, you saw the pictures. It was insane.
I watched the game.
You can't throw in that weather.
Believe me.
Throw that game out.
Listen, I was in Europe for 16 days.
But you found workarounds.
I found a way to consume the Bears game. And also, like, NFL football is the only American sport that anyone in Europe is willing to even acknowledge.
Okay.
So when they say baseball is America's pastime, baseball does not exist over there. College football, there was no, I couldn't find college football anywhere.
Found a Bears bar?
I was in Sorrento and they were airing. Who did the Lions play week one? Was it
the Eagles?
The Eagles. The Eagles and the Lions were on in a pub in Sorrento.
Okay.
And then they were showing the Vikings and the Packers game, but that was the late game, right?
Yes.
That wasn't in the same window as the Lions and the Eagles.
No, that was in the 3 o'clock window.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like they got one game at a time because all the TVs were turned to that one game. But then I had a way to why I saw the game.
That's my point, is you can't factor that in. You're like, oh, well, he only threw it 15 times that game or whatever. Yeah, because you can't throw in that weather.
In the last offseason, the Bears hired the only defensive-minded head coach. I have a thought on that coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Black and Abdallah, ESPN 1000, and now on digital FM at 100.3 HD2.
Lose to the Packers last night, 27-10. We're taking your calls at 312-332-3776. It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Now, Abdallah, I'm going to look at Matt Eberflus and blame him for the loss last night.
You would.
Go back to last offseason when the Bears were searching for their head coach. The Bears were the only team to hire a defensive-minded head coach. He's the only one to get a new gig in this offseason. Yes, Dennis Allen got the gig with the Saints. He was their defensive coordinator. He stepped into the head coaching role for the Saints. So it's not quite the same as going out and selecting a defensive-minded coach to come in and be your new leader of your team. His defense last night got taken apart in the run game. They were completely dominated. And that cannot happen in year one with this head coach as the leader of the franchise, defensive-minded head coach, and your defense gives up 203 yards of rushing, and the Packers completely dominate you 21 points in the second quarter last night. I'm pointing to the defense and the head coach. I want to see some backbone and some stability here from the defense throughout the season and keep this team in games. Again, the offense needs a lot of work, a lot of development with the quarterback as well. But if Eberflus is the only defensive-minded coach to get a gig in this last offseason, the last coaching cycle, I'm looking at you when your team is getting run all over by the Green Bay Packers last night.
Yeah, I'm going to say that, you know, a lot of guys did not have a good game yesterday. Kyler Gordon had a horrible game yesterday. Roquan Smith was looked pretty slow out there, like he was running through quicksand at sometimes. And I think that, you know, the defensive line obviously did not have a good day either, as they were able to run tons of missed tackles. And just 2 and 3 missed tackles every time. I know the Packers have big running backs. I get that. But you're missing tackles left and right. Robert Quinn had the sack. Travis Gibson probably had the best game, even though he did have some mistakes. But overall, obviously a bad defensive effort. Kyler Gordon looked like a rookie yesterday. Sure. And you saw that the Packers were taking advantage of that. They were running to his side. They knew he couldn't set the edge. Aaron Rodgers was picking him apart on that side. Jalen Johnson hasn't been targeted once this year. Not a single time.
That's amazing.
And look, Jalen Johnson might be great. He's not that great.
No.
That's because they're picking on the rookie on the other side. So I wonder now if you start to see those guys switch off a little bit on whoever is the team's best wide receiver. So I think we'll see a better effort from these guys. I still believe that this team is buying into what Matt Eberflus is selling, right? You didn't see Quinn in this team yesterday. We all kind of thought they were going to lose to the Packers. I didn't think it was going to be that bad.
No.
But I thought that if the issue was going to be there, it was going to be on offense and not being able to score. Because I thought that the way the Packers were set up, that they were gettable. And by gettable, I meant like keep it close and hopefully maybe something fluky goes your way at the end. But Aaron Rodgers, you saw yesterday, there were miscommunication issues with his wide receivers, with his center, with everything. Like, they were giving the Bears that game. And eventually they were just like, Aaron Rodgers doesn't need to beat us. He can make strategic throws when he needs to, make a couple home run plays when he has to. But ultimately, we're just going to stand here and hand the ball off because you can't stop us. And that was how they won. And that's on Matt Eberflus and that defense.
Aaron Rodgers goes 19 for 25, 234 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked 3 times, quarterback rating of 131.1. And I think the thing that is so irritating as a Bears fan, it's like, I have a respect for the Green Bay Packers. And when you talk about the history of the rivalry, obviously one of the best in all of sports. But as of late, Aaron Rodgers is just Cadillacing it out there, laughing, enjoying himself. It's just a walk in the park when he faces off against the Chicago Bears. And that's what's so frustrating, because I thought that they would be in a better position than they were, down big in the fourth quarter like they were last night. But I think a lot of that has to do with the defense giving up 21 points in the second quarter. Now, the offense did not help the defense in the second quarter, because what? How many 3-and-outs did they have?
All of them.
They couldn't stay on the field, and that's a problem, and that's where you get the balance of the overall team. 312-332-3776. If you want to talk Bears football with us, Raphael and Joliet, you're on ESPN 1000.
Raphael!
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up,
man?
So I'm disappointed in myself for believing this game could be different. Like, I think 90% of Chicago Bears fans thought they would lose this game. But I'm pretty sure every one of those 90% thought they would at least cover, and it was just bad. And just to tack on what Tarico was saying about buying bear stock, like, I don't know how you can. Like, we all bought in big for Justin Fields when he got drafted. Like Abdallah said, this guy was a star in Ohio State. He played Clemson. Like, that game in the playoffs was amazing. Like, I thought we were getting
Raphael.
Did we lose Raphael?
Raphael?
I thought we lost Raphael. Call back.
I think we lost him. All right, yeah. Raphael.
No, I understand what he's saying, though, because when you look at Justin Fields and buying into what Matt Eberflus is doing and him coming in and taking over this team, one of the things I said all offseason is don't get blown out, right? Well, so far, they're 0-1 when it comes to blowouts, because if we go by the same Matt Nagy stat, when they were a sure. dog by more than a touchdown.
Major dog. They didn't show.
Didn't show up. And so far, they've been a major dog once, and they didn't show up.
Right. And that's where Raphael is right. I mean, I took the Bears last night plus a 10.5, so I was in the same boat. Mm-hmm. I figured that they wouldn't win the football game. 7-point game, I would imagine. Maybe it's a 3-point game to the middle of the fourth quarter, and then something happens, get the 6 or a touchdown.
If that touchdown counts, it would have covered.
10.5. That's why I took it at
that
point.
Touchdown went through.
So like, I figured that they would at least hang tough, and it seems as if they didn't. Although you could kind of flip it. If better decisions were made along the goal line, maybe they did hang tough in the game. And that just one decision by Luke Getsy is why that bet didn't cash.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if Justin Fields does score that touchdown, you're in the game. You have a chance. You're down 7 at that point, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So if you kick the extra point. So, you know, I do think that they were within reach. It wasn't a Nagy-like blowout where there was no chance. But you just didn't like the way it kind of felt at the end there against the Packers last night.
It did feel Nagy-esque with the undisciplined nature of the team, right? With having all those penalties and not being able to do anything on offense. Like, it just looked like they were giving up on offense on certain downs. And, you know, I don't know what they're trying to do out there or what they're trying to convert and the plays they're trying to call. We haven't seen the all-22, so I don't know how open guys were down the field. But if that pocket's collapsing and Fields can't go through his progressions fast enough and see guys that are open and he just doesn't know that guys are going to be there, then he's going to have to just tuck and run because guys aren't getting, like, there's two things have to happen for you to say, oh, get the ball out quicker. Someone has to be open for you to get the ball out fast enough. So if guys aren't getting off their defenders fast enough, he can't make that throw. Now, I need to see if these guys are getting away from the defenders fast enough as to whether or not Justin Fields is missing these throws.
Well, I mean, they need a number one wide receiver, so.
Well, DK Metcalf would have been nice.
But
maybe next year. But, see, because that's the thing. People want to call up and say that Justin Fields is trash, right? And that's fine. He might be trash. But I'm going to wait till the end of the year and not the second game of the season to decide whether or not he's trash.
Well, I'm not saying he's trash.
I'm not saying you're saying he's trash. But there's been phone calls all up and down this radio station
phone
today.
Calls, meh.
People are out on Justin Fields, and you can be. But remember, it's his second year. It can be his second year. Yes, he should be able to read defenses and all that kind of stuff. But it's a new system. It's his second game. I'm going to wait till the end of the year to make and I think the Bears are going to do the same thing as to whether or not Justin Fields is the guy.
Did Darnell Mooney play in week one or week two?
He was there. He's doing his best Allen Robinson impression, I'll tell you that.
Huh. Tony in California listening on the ESPN Chicago app. What's up, Tony?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good, man.
Good. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I appreciate you guys on my drive home every day in the stupid LA traffic.
Thanks, Tony.
What are you on? Are you on the 5, the 101? Where are you at?
No, I take the 210. I work in Hollywood, and I live out in the Inland Empire, so I take the 210 home every day.
Inland Empire.
Love it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so real quick, Fields, I think what Fields was trying to say yesterday, I really didn't take it to heart. I think he could have maybe worded it a little differently, but I know that the players feel it. They know, I know for a fact they feel the pain with Aaron Rodgers walking all over us every week. As a Bears fan, I can't stand it. I can't stand watching that game because he does laugh at us. He does mock us. He does make fun of us all the time. But I also agree with what Cap said to an extent. Maybe Cap went a little overboard too, but he was telling Fields, don't go there. You know, so Fields maybe went there a little bit, and I think Cap said, don't go there. Maybe Cap went a little too far with it as well. But I think Cap's point was, hey, we're the fans. We have just as much vested in this. Maybe financially we don't get paid like you guys do, but we have a lot of invested in this. So don't go there. I think that's what happened yesterday.
Tony, can you give us a Kaplan impersonation there on what he said about Justin Fields?
Your $175 on your stinking jersey or something like that through NFLshop.com, you know. Take that.
That's awesome, Tony.
That's great,
Thank
Tony.
You.
So I think he was doing it, but I also think that, you know, we just got to give Fields a little bit of time. If we talked at the beginning of the year, the Bears would be 1-1 after the first two games, I think everybody would have taken it.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm with you, Tony. Call again, all right? I appreciate you listening.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks. Yeah, Tony's right. 1-1 is a good spot and kind of what we've talked about all off season. This team's going to be around 500, I think, for the majority of the year. I think they'll get to the start of December and they'll be around 500, which will mean We'll have many Mondays here on Block and Abdallah where this is going to be the tenor of the conversation, where it's going to be negative because the game that took place on Sunday didn't go their way. But also, I think there's going to be moments where we look at the way that Fields is developing, the way the team plays for Eberflus, kind of the direction of the franchise, and we're going to say, okay, we understand where this is going. And I think there's going to be a mix of good and bad throughout this season.
Let's see how this is after the next 2 weeks. The Texans and the Giants are winnable games. You're a 3-point favorite, 2.5-point favorite against the Texans on Sunday at home. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah. Score 24 to 28 points.
Yeah. You know Lovey's going to stop the run.
Score some points. Stop their offense.
Mm-hmm.
Win a home game, and then set your sights on an improving New York Giants team with a new head coach.
I had them 2-2 at the end of these first four games. If they're 3-1, great. If they're 2-2, that's what I predicted. So it's fine. Just it's a work in progress. It's a long year.
More Bears calls coming up at 312-332-3776. Also, we have the song of the night.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
You can watch the show on Twitch today and every day. Go to twitch.tv/ESPN Chicago. It's brought to you this week by Bernie's Book Bank. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Each night around 6:50, we play for you the song of the night.
I want to rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Black and Abdallah's song of the night.
Yo, later.
Tonight's song. We're going to Bon Jovi. Bad Medicine from 1988. It's your song of the night. Well, it's featured on the album New Jersey, which was released on September 19th, 1988.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
How about that? This album had 5 Billboard Hot 100 songs on it. This album went to number 1 on the U.S. Billboard 200 album chart. This song was number 1 on the Hot 100. And in many countries, this album, after their much better album, which was Slippery When Wet.
Yeah.
I realized a few things.
Okay.
I realized a few things when putting this song in. Songs don't need to be 5 minutes long.
Well, yeah, no, it doesn't.
Songs don't need to be five.
See, no.
See, last week I played a bunch of punk bands from Ride Fest, and sure, I was doing like 2.5 minute songs.
Of course.
2 minute songs. Like, that's enough for a song. Yeah. Unless I'm listening to like a Metallica opus. Why do I need four verses in this song? What am I doing with four verses?
Oh, that was the style of the times.
I get it, Richie Sambora. You want to play a guitar solo? That's cool. That's cool. I get it. But what do I need if I miss the times when radio was at, nope, 3 minutes. That's all you get.
Well, you know what that's from. That's how pop music started.
Oh, I know.
Pop music started with very short songs, like around 2 minutes. And then they got longer, right? And in the 90s, they got extra long, right? Yeah. With hip-hop songs that were like 5.5 minutes as well, which is crazy to listen to, like early Jay-Z. You pop one of those songs.
I don't need three verses, Jay.
Exactly.
I can't remember all those words.
But then now we've come full circle because then people are making shorter songs for the streaming culture, and people are like, ugh, these short songs. Actually, pop music was always about short music.
Yes. And even better, short albums.
Yeah.
I give me 12 of your best. I don't need a double album. What are you giving me 25 songs for?
Well, does it even matter now?
I guarantee you 10 of those aren't good.
It depends.
Nope.
It depends.
Name one double album that couldn't be cut down to 12 songs.
Yeah, you might have me there. You might have me.
There isn't.
All right.
There's no double album where you're like, I'm going to go cover to cover to cover to cover.
In the research of for this song, Bad Medicine for Bon Jovi, did you watch the video? Featuring Sam Kennison?
Yes, in the beginning. Yeah. He's great. He's awesome.
They make a video where the fans are making the video.
Yes.
They storm the arena and they make a video.
That's cool too.
It's actually a pretty good idea.
Hold on. I'm not done. Oh, he's not done.
One more time.
I've heard the chorus 30 times.
It's Bon Jovi, Bad Medicine. It's your song of the night. Twitchers are in on the joke too.
Oh yeah.
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for
what dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an. Never mind.
I say to someone who goes see the Grateful Dead,
time for
Black
and Abdallah's song of the night.
Yo, later.
No, but it's true. Like, that song was like 5 minutes of them just doing the same thing.
Over and over again.
It's a lot like this show. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.